And it is good. I want to welcome everybody here this morning that's able to be with us physically. It's great to see all of you here and several of you that's back with us for the first time. We're glad to have you here. And again, I want to welcome all of you who are worshiping with us this morning by our live stream. We're glad to have you with us. And again, just pray that this worship time will be a blessing to you. We began a series of lessons last week that I'm referring to as Faith Warriors. Before we begin our lesson, a couple of things I want to tell you about. First of all, our family movie night this month on September the 20th, Brian will be showing 7 Days in Utopia. This is a really good movie. There's some really great life lessons in this. I want to encourage you to plan to come and see this particular movie. I'm looking forward to seeing it again. Plan to be there September 20th, 5 o'clock here in the auditorium, all right? Okay, COVID-19 affects everybody, right? And I don't know there's anybody on the planet that hasn't in one way or another been affected by COVID-19. And even Where's Waldo, okay? We have the social distancing edition of Where's Waldo, all right? Again, everybody's been affected by it, even Where's Waldo? But just a reminder to you, some updates on the COVID response that we're doing. We had originally hoped and thought, and everybody was saying this thing should be gone by now. Well, guess what? It's still here. We're still having to deal with it. So just a reminder of some things. Social distancing, we want to make sure we're practicing that. We've got folks just spread out all over the auditorium. That's a good thing. That's what we need to be doing. We also need to be wearing our face mask while we're here. And by the way, these things also apply, those two to when you're out other places or what have you. So wear your face mask. We are still in a no passing zone, okay? What that means is no passing of communion plates, no passing of contribution plates. The communion we're still doing and will be for the foreseeable future, doing the individual communion cups. And as Brian said, for those of you who haven't been with us, this is the first time, you put it back in the bag, and there's a trash can at the end of this aisle over here, and just put that back in there. We don't want anybody going around and collecting all of those. Just take it and drop it in that trash can, if you will, when we're finished this morning. Your contribution, you can put in either one of the baskets that are on the table in the back there, okay? Fellowship meals. This is one of the things, I don't know about you, but, I'm losing weight here, folks, because we didn't get to eat together as much. No, I wish I were losing weight. But anyway, we don't get to have any fellowship meals anytime soon. Those are still kind of over on the shelf right now. So keep that in mind with that. So again, just reminders of where we are with things. One of the things that we were looking forward to, I was really looking forward to this year, was our Friends Day. But we're not going to be able to do that right now. So just keep that in mind. And hopefully, we keep praying about it. And Lord, keep working on all this stuff that we'll be able to start eating together again soon, I hope. All right. Our contributions, as I mentioned, we have the baskets back there in the back for those who are here. For those of you who are not here with us physically or worshiping with us online, you can make your contribution either by PayPal at edgehillpaypal@gmail.com, or you can send it through the mail. We certainly do appreciate everyone's contributions. The country's been keeping up, and we appreciate everyone's generosity through this time because, as we have on there, we still have to pay our bills. So we certainly do appreciate all the contributions that folks have been making. All right? Okay. We began this series last week in talking about faith and faith warriors, and this was our foundational text that we are focusing on. The definition of faith that the writer of Hebrews gives us in 11 verse 1, that faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. That surety and that certainty of knowing without any doubt that what God has promised to us, He is going to give. And then, this is not just something that we have. This is something that we live by in our lives day by day. being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we have not seen yet, because we know we will see it. And this kind of faith that we're focusing on here is our motivator, motivating us, okay? It moves us to obedience, to live a life of obedience to God and His will, all right? It gets us through the difficulties that we face. And we all have difficulties, right? Well, it's our faith that motivates us and gets us through whatever difficulties, including COVID-19, right? It gets us through those things, and then eventually what it does is it propels us to victory, all right? And this is all about living a life of faith as faith warriors. The writer of Hebrews in chapter 11 gives us a who's who, okay, of the faithful of the Bible. And one of the things that I want you to really understand is that these are examples of real people. They're not just Bible stories that someone made up somewhere. These are real historical people that lived their life, okay? And in their living of their life, they submitted themselves to God's will. And they allowed God to use them for His purposes. And that's what I'm trying to encourage us to be thinking about. When we think about faith warriors and being a faith warrior, that we be real people living our lives for God, allowing Him to use us for His purpose in this world. And throughout this study, I'm encouraging everyone to ask two questions. Number one, what did this person do? And secondly, what can I learn from this? Okay? How can I be a faith warrior like this person? Today, we're going to talk about Enoch. Okay? Now, Enoch is, he's one of those people in the Bible where, and like we talked about last week with Abel, there's not a whole lot of things said in the Bible about Enoch. There are really only three verses, okay? There are three places in the Bible that we find anything said about Enoch. But he's another example of one who, though there's not a lot that's said, what is said is pretty awesome, okay? And what we're going to focus on this morning is Enoch and his walk with God, okay? Now, we talk about walking, and, you know, walking is a good thing, right? My doctor, he asked me one time, he said, do you walk at all? Or do you exercise? And I said, well, I play golf. And he said, do you walk? I said, I walk from the cart to my golf ball and back to the cart. And he said, that doesn't count. Okay, so he said, you need to walk more, okay? So I try to do that. I try to let somebody else drive the cart, and I get out and I walk more, all right? But I don't walk as much as I should, but I'm trying to do that more and more because there's a whole lot of health benefits from just walking, right? Okay, we know all these physical health benefits to walking that do that, so we also need to recognize there's a tremendous amount of spiritual benefits to walking, depending on where we're walking and who we're walking with, okay? But walking is good for our relationships, right? Okay? Walking gives you opportunity to do a lot of talking, okay? And building those relationships. So let's take walks, okay? And somebody said, if you have to keep wondering where you stand with someone, it may be time to stop standing and start walking. I like that, you know, because, again, it gives you an opportunity to talk and work on the relationship. We're talking this morning about walking with God, okay, and the spiritual benefits of us walking with God. Just like the physical benefits of walking physically, okay, there are some tremendous spiritual benefits of walking with God. We've talked about many times before Adam and Eve and their walk with God in the garden in the cool of the day. So that when Adam and Eve had sinned, The Bible tells us in verse 8 of chapter 3 of Genesis that they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And you've heard me talk about this many times, that sound was not something that was a surprise to them, as if that's the first time they'd ever heard it. It's described as something that they were used to. They knew what the sound was because they'd heard it many times before. They were used to God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. So they walked with God. Enoch, one of the three passages that we have about Enoch, tells us that Enoch walked with God. Genesis chapter 5, verses 21 through 24. When Enoch had lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. And after he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years. And he had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Enoch lived 365 years, and Enoch walked with God. And then he was no more because God took him away. 365 years, Enoch walked with God. Wow. What a blessing. What a faith warrior to be one who would walk with God. So much so, and had such a relationship with Him that's what the Bible says about Him. That He walked with God. Okay? And then He was no more because God took Him away. If you go through and you read the genealogies that are listed in Genesis chapter 5, here's the interesting thing. It tells us about each one that begat. Adam had other sons and daughters, and then he lived X number of years, and it says then he died. And Seth, who was Adam's son, he lived X number of years, he had other sons and daughters, then he died. And Enosh, and Kenan, and Mahalalel, and Jared, and then Enoch. You know that Enoch is the only one in this list of the genealogies that it does not say then he died. It says he was no more because God took him. Okay? He was no more because God took him. He walked with God for 365 years, and then God took him. The writer of Hebrews, in the second place that we read of Enoch in the Scriptures, Hebrews 11, 5 and 6, by faith Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. Okay? He did not experience death. Enoch, apparently, he had such a great relationship with God that he walked so closely with God that God decided to spare him the pain of physical death and just took him from this earth. Wow, what does that say about that relationship? You know, when I think about it, we'll talk about a whole bunch of other faith warriors, and I think about all the stuff that these other faith warriors like Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and David and, you know, all of these folks and the things that they did, and what the Bible tells us about Enoch is he walked with God. And because of that walk, he didn't die physically. God took him physically from this world without death. Wow. What an awesome, awesome walk that must have been. You see? What an awesome walk that must have been. He could not be found because God had taken him away. What great thing did Enoch do? He walked with God. That's it. That's what the Bible tells us. He walked with God. See? There's one other person that the scriptures tell us about that did not physically die. Okay? And that's Elijah. In 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 11, it says this. He was walking along with Elisha, and as they were walking along and talking together, suddenly a chariot of fire and horses of fire appeared and separated the two of them, and Elijah went up to heaven in a whirlwind. Wow. Only two people that were taken from this world without dying. The third passage in the Bible that tells us anything about Enoch is in Jude 14 and 15. And it gives us a little bit of insight into Enoch's walk and what he was doing in that walk. It tells us here that Enoch, in the seventh generation from Adam, prophesied. He was a prophet, apparently. Okay? And he prophesied specifically, as Jude is writing about those who are wicked and evil and refuse to accept God, he says, "Behold, the Lord came with many thousands of his holy ones to execute judgment upon all and to convict all the ungodly of all their ungodly deeds which they have done in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him." Enoch prophesied about those who didn't walk with God at all and what would become of them. And rightly so, from someone who had such a close walk with God. The second thing that we need to understand about Enoch is, in that walk, what was so special about it? Well, it's about pleasing God. Look at what it says. He could not be found because God had taken him away, for before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. As one who pleased God. That's what he was known by God as, one who pleased God. Now understand, again, we're talking about Enoch's walk with God. That is the way that he lived his life every day. That Enoch lived his life in such a way to please God. That was his desire. And that was his walk in life. Why is that important for you and I to know today? Well, if we want to be a faith warrior like Enoch and walk with God, then we need to be living our life to please him. Look at what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5. He says, "Therefore we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord, for we live by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So we make it our goal to please him." So in other words, we're in this physical body. We're as long as we are alive, we're separated from the Lord, okay, in terms of we're here and he's there, and we'd like to be with him, but we're still here. And so what needs to be our goal as long as we are here is to please him. Just like Enoch did. To walk like Enoch walked in a life that has a goal of pleasing God. Now, I don't know about you, but I know for me that is a challenge. Because there's so many times in my life, so many things that come up where, guess who I want to please? Yeah, me. And what Paul is challenging us to do is to walk like Enoch walked, okay? And to live our lives so that our goal is not to please ourselves, but to please God. To the Galatian church, he wrote this, "For am I now seeking the approval of men or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. So you see, we need to understand in our walk, if our walk is about pleasing other people, including ourselves, okay, that is men, then we're not living as a servant of Christ. We're not walking with God the way we need to be walking. See? We need to decide, are we going to be concerned about pleasing people or are we going to be concerned about pleasing God? To the church in Thessalonica, Paul wrote, we speak as those approved by God, to be entrusted with the gospel. We are not trying to please people, but God who tests our hearts. See? Who are you trying to please in your walk in life? Other people or God? And to the church in Colossae, Paul said, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. Why? So that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way. Live a life worthy of Him and please Him in every way. And again, to the church in Thessalonica, Paul says, finally, brothers, we instructed you how to live in order to please God, as in fact you are living. And now we ask you and urge you in the Lord Jesus to do this, look at this, more and more. So in other words, Paul says, I recognize that you're living your life to please God, but that's not enough. He says, I want to encourage you to keep on doing it. Do it more and more. So should we ever be satisfied that we are living enough to please God? And I'd suggest the answer is no. We need to be always striving to do it more and more in our daily lives. Living to please Him. Just like Enoch did. Okay. And how do we do that? By walking in faith. Okay? By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And look at what he says next. The writer of Hebrews says, and without faith, it is impossible to please God. You cannot please God if you do not live a life of faith. And that's what it all comes down to. Living a life of faith. And that's what pleases God. And he goes on to explain. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists. Now, let's stop here for just a second and make sure we understand something, okay? This is not faith only. This is not just a faith that says, oh yeah, I believe that there's a God out there and that that is sufficient for us to be saved. That's not what the writer here is talking about, though this is where a lot of people go as a proof text to say faith is all we need. Notice what he says next. Not only do we have that faith and believe that he exists, but he says, and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. You see, there is more than just believing that God exists. He says, and though he rewards those who earnestly seek him. What is that all about? That's about our walk with God in our daily lives, that we are seeking God more and more every day in our lives, earnestly seeking him. Okay? And that brings us then to this walk. How can we be like Enoch? Well, it is about our walk. Okay? Our everyday way that we go through this life, our walk in life. John, in 1 John chapter 1, talks about our walk in the light. Okay? And where we walk makes all the difference in the world. Okay? There's warning signs sometimes like this. For your safety, do not walk alone in this area after dark. Why do we have those? Because there are some places where you do not want to walk after dark, right? It's just not physically safe for you to go there. Some of those places can be very scary. Now, on the other hand, there are some places where that's where we want to walk is when it's dark because it's so beautiful. I know when Cindy and I first got married and we would go out to visit her mom and dad out in Louisa County, they live out way out in the county out there, and at nighttime the sky would just be lit up with stars, and it was beautiful to be out there at night just to see the stars. I tried counting them once. But when it comes to our walk with God, we don't want to be in the dark. Okay? It is spiritually dangerous. Okay? We want to walk in the light. John begins in verse 5 of 1 John chapter 1. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Okay? You cannot find any darkness in God at all. And the reason for that is because you understand and know what darkness is. Darkness does not exist in and of itself. Darkness is simply the absence of light. Where there is no light, the result of that is darkness. And so when John says God is light and in him is no darkness, it's because darkness cannot exist where light is. You see? And so God is light. We want to walk in the light. John goes on to say God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, that is with God, and yet walk in the darkness, he says we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. That is fellowship with God who is in the light. And the blood of Jesus his son purifies us from all sin. Now, it doesn't matter what we say. We can claim all day long that we belong to God. But if we are walking in the darkness, John says we're lying. And the truth is not in us. You see, it doesn't really matter what we say as much as what we do. And in this case, it matters where we walk. Okay? And there's not but two places to walk, either in the light or in the darkness, and our walk determines our fellowship, either with God or without. And that's important for us to understand. Okay? Look at what Paul says to the church in Corinth in his second letter. Do not be yoked together with unbelievers, for what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? You can't put the two of them together. They don't have fellowship with one another. You see, another way to look at that is, as he says, what does light have in common with darkness? What's the answer to that? Nothing. You see, nothing. They have nothing in common. You see? And so we need to make sure and determine where are we going to walk. It's one or the other. If we want to be a faith warrior like Enoch, we need to be walking in fellowship with God, that is, in the light. So the challenge for each and every one of us, and this is an everyday thing, okay, for us to look at and determine, where am I walking? today? Okay. Where am I walking? Am I walking like Enoch with God? And that's how we become a faith warrior like Enoch. Walk with God in our lives. Tom has a song that he has chosen for us to use as an invitation song. And it's time for us to offer an invitation for, that's what we do. We want people to know if there's a need that you have in your life, if there's something that we can help you with, if there's a prayer request that you have, we want to know about it so that we can help take care of those things. So we offer this opportunity that we refer to as an invitation time, okay? You notice on the screen there's two phone numbers, Dale or Wes, and while we're having this song, those of you who are worshiping with us online, if you would like to present a prayer request to us, you can text either one of those, and those numbers will be up on the screen during the song, and your prayer request will be answered when we finish the song. For those who are here with us physically, if you have a prayer request, a need, something that we can address with you, the opportunity is for you. All you got to do is come up and let me know, and we will address your prayer request and your need. If there's anyone, and especially addressing our audience of those of you who are online with us, someone out there who has not yet given your life to Christ, you're not yet a Christian, you're still separated from God by your sin, you need to understand and know that until you give your life to Christ and have your sins washed away in the waters of baptism, you will be lost. The opportunity is for you and anyone here this morning physically, for anyone to give your life to Christ. You can do that right now this morning. All you got to do is let us know. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and you're ready to make Him Lord of your life, then call upon Him as your Lord and repent of the sin that's separating you from God and have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism. And you can do that right now. All you got to do is let us know. It's it's as simple as come up and let me know, or text Dale and Wes, or either one of them. We will make it happen as soon as possible. So with that in mind, let's stand together and sing. Tom?